coming weeks, we're going to be talking about the ways in which we choose to use the things that God has given us. And so this morning, I want you to, for a second, I want you to think about the choices that you have made or are currently making, right? There might be choices that are in front of you right now. You sit here this morning and you're thinking about, okay, I've got this choice or choices in front of me or in front of us as a family, and we're kind of looking through, wrestling with what choices to make, or perhaps you can think of choices that you've made in the recent past. What were the motivating factors? What were the motivating factors to the choices that you had made or are maybe in the process of making? Maybe it was to get more of something. Maybe the choices that are in front of you that you've made or are about to make, the motivating factors are, I want to try to get more of something. Maybe it's you're making a choice to get more time. Maybe it's to get more money. Maybe it's to get more health. Maybe it's to get more recognition. Maybe there's a motivating factor of choices that you're making or about to make of wanting to have less of something. Maybe you're making choices to have less stress, maybe have less drama, maybe have less hurt in your life. Maybe some of the motivating factors or one of the motivating factors of choices that you have made or are making are relationships. Or a relationship, a relationship or relationships that you want to see grow or need to go. Right? So as you're thinking about the choices that you've made or recently made or are maybe in the process of making, what are some of those motivating factors? I would suggest that genuine relationship cannot happen without the freedom to choose. Right? So if you think about relationship that you have, if you and I are forced into a relationship or forced to have a relationship with someone, that then it becomes maybe on the extreme abusive. Right? But to have genuine relationship means that we have the freedom to choose to continue or to be in said relationship. If you're taking notes, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. When I think about this idea of the freedom to choose, because of God's great love for you and for me, he has given us the choice, the freedom to choose to be in relationship with him or not. Because God is love, we have the freedom to choose to be in or to love him back or not. Now, Paul, in his first letter to the church in Corinth, chapter 10, if you're taking notes, chapter 10, verse 23 and 24, he writes and says, I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. No one should seek their own good, but rather the good of others. So this is what's interesting about this passage that Paul makes note of, is this is kind of some legal verbiage. I have the right. It is legal for me to do this, this, or this. And Paul says, right, but not everything that is legal is helpful or healthy, right? You can think of things in our current culture, society today. There are a lot of choices that you can make that are very much legal, but may very well not be helpful or healthy. And so when Paul's writing and saying, sure, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. There are a lot of things that are legal, but there are also a lot of things that are legal and not helpful or healthy. Rather, we should seek to do good for others. So this morning, I want to talk about what does it look like with this opportunity, this freedom that we have to choose. What do we choose to do with the things that God has given us? And so this morning, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 25. And before we jump in, I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks because we know that you are and you promise to be present with us. And so we pray that as we spend some time in this new series over the next 3 weeks, that you would just open your word to us. And that we would hear your voice. So help us to set aside the distractions that are happening maybe in this room right around us or in our lives or all just anything that would just get in the way of having us hear your voice. We pray that you would just open our hearts and our minds to the things that you have for us. And Lord, I ask that the words that I speak would not be my own but yours. Amen. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. Now, it starts right away. The first word is again, which is one of those key words. There's another word that we've talked about when we read scripture. If we come across the word therefore, what does that tell us that we need to do? We got to go back, right? Nice word. All right, great. Good job, guys. So yes, so therefore is a word that when we come across it in scripture means we need to look at what precedes it, right? Blah, 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 blah. Therefore, do this, okay? So we need to go back and examine what the blah, 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 blah is, okay? Another word other than therefore would be again. So verse 14, chapter 25, first word is again. So we go back to the beginning of chapter 25, verse 1. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like. Verse 14. Again, it, the kingdom of God, will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his ability. And then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. Verse 17, so also the one with 2, he did the same thing, got 2. Verse 18, but the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Now, if you're not familiar with the banking system back in the day, this is not as crazy as it sounds. It was not uncommon for people back in the day to take their money and literally dig a hole and bury it like in their field, because they didn't have quite the banking system that we might be aware of or use or trust or all those kind of things. And so it would not have been an uncommon thing to do this, okay? So it doesn't sound totally as crazy as we might read it. Dug a hole, buried it in the ground. Verse 19, after a long time, we don't know how long, but it was a long time. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled the accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5 and said, Master, you entrusted me with 5 bags, and see, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I have put you in charge of many. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold came and said, Master, you've entrusted me with 2 bags, and guess what? I have 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Verse 24. And then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came and he said, Master, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and I went out and I hid your gold in the ground. Here you go. Here's what belongs to you, the 1 bag of gold. And his master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Now, what's interesting to note about the banking system as well is that it was this idea of, you know, just taking some money and giving it to, as he says, to some bankers. Well, it was a profession to be a money lender, a money holder. You know, remember when Jesus is in the temple and he gets ticked at all the money changers, right? It was a profession. And so what was also known about this profession is that they were not always the most trustworthy. These individuals might be a little, I used the word last service, they might be a little sketch, okay? So there would have been risk, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, there would have been risk in the servant with the 1 bag to give it to a banker, a money lender, right? There would have been some inherent risk there because what if he, okay? And the master says, well, you could have at least given it to a banker so that I would have at least had some interest. There would have been some return on the investment that I left you with. So take the bag of gold, verse 28, from him and give it to the one who has 10. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Strong words from Jesus. Now, it's important that when we read parables, that we don't take them at our literal translation, right, or a literal understanding. So we can see some parallels where God might be the master who gives us these things. That's what we're going to be talking about over the next couple of weeks. God has given us this, these things, right? And he wants us, even expects us, to use them for him, for his kingdom, for his service, right? Now, do I think that God is going to be kicking us to the curb when we fail at using the things that he has given us? Well, probably not. But at the same time, it's important to understand and hear the judgment that Jesus is talking about. There's judgment that's going to happen, and so we'll spend some time kind of talking about that. When we talk about and we think about the ways in which we choose to use the abilities that God has given you, what does that look like? God has given each of us unique abilities to use. So the question that we wrestle with is, how are we choosing to use them? Paul writes in that same letter, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, chapter 12, he talks about the body of Christ, which is called the church, okay? And that there are many parts and one body. Just like our physical bodies have many moving parts, they all do and have different abilities, but they make up the one body. So when we talk about and we think about, okay, the abilities that God has given us, how are we choosing to use them? Are we choosing to use them for the benefit of, the growth of, the support of the body? About 6 months ago, we added a staff person with a focus on what I call the director of connections. And Jacqueline, I'm going to invite Jacqueline Meadows to come up, and she's going to share a little bit of kind of about what she does and some of her passion and how I think this relates to how we choose to use our abilities that God has given us.
Hi, Gateway. Thanks for letting me come up for a few minutes. So as Matt said, my name is Jacqueline, and I get the privilege of serving next to all of you guys with a focus of connections around here. And I just want to take a minute to share with you guys some examples of how all of you use your talents here at Gateway. As I walk up here, I see this stage, and this stage was built with your hands and your talents. And the chairs that are lined up this morning, they're all lined up the way they are because that's your talents, and you guys have done that. In fact, last night when I was sitting thinking about this service, I realized, do you guys know it takes over 30 people every Sunday morning to make these services happen? And that's pretty exciting. We have some ministries out in the community where we serve our local elementary schools, our local food pantry, and that all started because of your heart and your talent to serve our community. Our most recent ministry, our newest campus out in Fortville, that all started from the talent and the passion of our pastor Matt of reaching the unchurched and dechurched in our surrounding communities. And we have been humbled and overwhelmed by how many of you guys have stepped up to serve with your talents out in Fortville. I tell you all of this because I want you to share in my excitement and it's just joyful to see you guys use your talents for the betterment of Gateway. It's really God working through all of you guys for us to live out our mission statement, which you, I'm sure, hear all the time, which is to live life together, to learn to be like Christ, so that we may love like Christ. Really, it does not end there. You guys aren't using your talents just for our mission statement here in our Church of Gateway. Really, when you guys use your talents, it's to further the kingdom of God. So I hope you find as much joy in that as I do. And as I pray over that and I pray over you guys, I realize that some of you might be sitting here today wondering, well, how can I use my talents? And you might be wrestling with God of what that looks like. That's awesome. Keep wrestling with God about that. Let us wrestle with you about that, to work with you to figure out how we can use those talents around here. Some of us in our life group, we just finished a book called The 40-Day Prayer Challenge by Mark Batterson. And Mark talked about God ideas. These aren't good ideas, but God ideas. And you find a God idea only when you are in the presence of Christ. So I want to leave you guys with that encouragement today, to get in the presence of Christ and allow God to speak to your heart one of his God ideas. And maybe that will be encouraging you to use your talent in a ministry that we already have here at Gateway. Or maybe that might be encouraging you to use your talent in a ministry that you may start at Gateway. So thank you, Gateway. Thank you for letting me serve alongside you guys and using my talents. You guys continue to amaze me, and I just hope my inbox this week is going to be filled with all of your emails of telling me how you want to start serving at Gateway. So I look forward to hearing from all of you guys.
So would you say, Jacqueline, thank you. Thanks, Jay. Somebody says, hey, I got this ability, I got this. I don't see how it fits into, I mean, is it the best way to make that connection or explore that is just reaching out to you and maybe taking you out for lunch or something? Or
absolutely. So I didn't say it blindly when I said let us wrestle with you over that. Bring your ideas to us, bring your concerns to us. Let us wrestle with you in conversation and prayer over lunch, whatever that might look like. We'd love to do that. I would love to do that.
I think that it seems like we are in a place where we're in the life of our church, where we're kind of open, I would say, pretty open, don't you think, to exploring new things. Perhaps there are abilities or there are passions that individuals might have that aren't even on our radar.
Absolutely. Matt talks a lot about paid and unpaid staff. It's not just the paid staff's job to figure out what our ministries are going to be. You guys are the ones who make almost all the ministries around here happen, and you guys bring the ideas, and we just want to work with you to make those happen and bring your ideas to us. That's how it's all going to keep moving around here.
And I would say, as they fit into the vision of Gateway, right? I mean, if somebody comes and says, hey, Jacqueline, I am really passionate about puppies, and I think we should start a puppy daycare here, right? We're going to say, okay, well, let's talk about that over lunch and maybe explore how that fits into the vision of Gateway, right? I mean, but I think for the most part, pretty open to kind of seeing how God is leading all of us to connect.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. So we're encouraged by you guys every day. I hope you know that. And the ministries that are happening, again, are because of you guys and your hearts to following God.
Yeah. Thanks, Jay, for being willing to share. Yeah. And knowing, and please reach out to Jacqueline. She really is passionate about helping individuals connect with each other, connect with God, and connect with our community. And so when we think about then the choice that we have to use those abilities that God has given us, then how does that play out within the life of the church? Some of you, part of it might be you have to actually own and admit that you're good at stuff, right? We have to, so some of it is being willing to kind of go, it's not standing up and going, hey, I don't know, but I'm pretty awesome at this, so you should probably have me in charge of it. I mean, maybe, but it might also be you sitting in your seat right now and going, I really am good at this thing. God really has given me this ability or these abilities, and you know what? I'm good at this. And then going, how do I choose to use this for God's kingdom? God intends the abilities that he has given us to be used for him. Right? There's different abilities given to different people in different circumstances. And it's more about how we choose to use our abilities than who has which abilities. Because thankfully, the kingdom of God is not a one-size-fits-all economy. That he has given us, in fact, different abilities so that we might do this thing together. If we all had the same abilities, we'd be pretty boring. And frankly, not that effective. But because we are one body with many parts, given unique and different abilities, then we can do a lot more, especially when we choose to do them together and we do them for God. So I want to talk about that for a second. How do we choose to use our abilities for God? A couple of things. The first one is this. Stop comparing your abilities to those of others. Just stop. Because it's easy for us as humans to sit around and look at everybody else's abilities and go, ah, I wish I had that ability. I wish I was good at that. I wish I could do that. Wow, look at the way she did that. I wish I was her. When in fact, if we were to be willing to see that God has in fact given each of us unique and different abilities, that we don't have to then compare ourselves to others. It's rarely a helpful or healthy thing to compare ourselves to others on almost any in any varied level of our lives. We do it as Christians all the time. Oh my goodness, that person is so spiritual. I really suck at this. I'm like the worst Christian ever. I'm not even sure I'm a Christian. Because look at that person. They brought their Bible to church. Right? It's not helpful. And we do the same thing with abilities. That person is so good at fill in the blank. Man, I wish it's not helpful. Rather, we have different abilities, unique abilities, that we then have the opportunity to choose. See, we're not responsible for the unique abilities that we have been given. We didn't really get much say in that. What we are responsible for is what we choose to do with them. God has given you the abilities that you have. You're not responsible for that. What you are responsible for is what you choose to do with those abilities. The second thing, so stop comparing. Second thing, recognize that we are caretakers, not owners of the things that God has given us, right? You have this playing out in this parable. These guys were not the owners of the money. They were simply caretakers of. And the master gave them the 5 bags, the 2 bags, and the 1 bag, and had an expectation that they were going to do something with them. And so they recognized that, in fact, the two of them recognized, these are not mine to do with what I please. Rather, I'm caretakers of, and so I'm going to do something with them. In the passage even tells us that at once they went out. They immediately went to go do this thing that they have been given charge over, this, to be caretakers of. The one said, instead, approached it as, this is my money, so I'm gonna do what I want with it, and I'm just going to bury it in the ground. Right? And so we got to stop comparing. We also have to recognize that we are caretakers, not owners of. When we ignore or we squander or we abuse the abilities that God has given us, then we, in fact, are fooled into thinking that we own it. We are the source of these abilities that I have or these things that I'm good at. Look at me. Look how I've made myself good at this, 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 and this. We fooled ourselves into thinking we're the source of the owner. Rather, when we think about the way in which we are the caretakers of, well, now we recognize that there's an expectation that God has by the gifts, the abilities that he has given you, that you use them. Paul would say that you would use them for the good of others. The last thing I would say is this. So it's got to be stop comparing your abilities to others, that we have to recognize that we are the caretakers, not the owners of, or nor the source of our abilities, and that we also recognize that risk, and this was an interesting thing for me I hadn't really thought that much about, but it makes a lot of sense, at least to me, that risk is a part of discipleship, that risk is a part of following Jesus, that there is an inherent risk when you invest, right? I mean, we want to find high return and low risk. That's the, like, sweet spot, right? And so if we all knew that there was a way that we could invest our money and that the return would be guaranteed 5, 10, 15, 20, 100, 200%, we would all do that. But that's not always the case. And more often than not, the greater return comes with what? The greater risk. And so you find that investment is about risk. When you and I choose to invest our abilities into the kingdom of God, we have to recognize that there is risk involved. There is risk involved to follow Jesus. The Christian faith has to be more than just trying not to do bad stuff, right? There's got to be more to it than just, I'm just going to try not to do anything wrong. But rather, if I'm choosing to use my abilities for God, there's going to be some risk. Maybe the risk for you is going to cause you to step outside of your comfort zone, right? Maybe you're sitting here going, with all humility, you're sitting there going, you know, I'm pretty good at this and this and this. Like, God has given me the ability to do this, this, and this, and I'm pretty good at it. And you can say that with the utmost humility. And now you're going, but I don't know what that looks like in the life of the church. I don't know how to use that ability or those abilities. I don't know how to use them for God. And I might even be a little bit afraid because there might be some risk in having to step outside of my comfort zone to use those abilities for God. Maybe the risk comes that someone might find out that you follow Jesus. Maybe for you, there's risk in that. Maybe in your workplace, maybe in your family, that if someone might find out that you're a Christian, there's risk in that. So what does it look like for you and for me as we choose to, if we choose to, use our abilities for God, God-given abilities that we would then use them for Him, we would vest in the things of God, what does the risk look like? Risk is a part of it. So I want to leave you with kind of with this question, this sort of challenge to think about. Now, if God is the owner, if we can wrestle with that idea for a second and it changes our mindset, that God is in fact the owner, we are simply the caretakers of that which He has given to us, so these unique abilities that He has given you and me, we are the caretakers of, and that there is an expectation that we're going to do something with them, right? If you have taken your abilities and you have simply just dug a hole and buried in them, then the value of the abilities that God has given you is in fact lost. The value of the abilities that God has given you only comes to fruition when you in fact use those abilities, and especially when you use them for the things of God. So if you've taken those abilities and you've buried them in the ground, then we've got to wrestle with, okay, that's as if I own those things. And you know what? Frankly, it's my decision, it's my right to do with them what I want. But if it's a change of mindset that, in fact, I don't own them, and they are God's, and I am the caretaker of, well, then how does that change the mindset and impact how we choose to use them? So that's the challenge that I leave for you and for me is, if we can change that mindset a little bit and go from owner to caretaker, then how does that change the choices I make with the abilities that I have? Let's pray. Lord, we give You thanks that you would give us all sorts of unique abilities, and we're thankful that they are different. And we confess to You that there have certainly been times, maybe a lot of times, when we have chosen to use those abilities for our own gain or for selfish reasons. Or maybe we've chosen not to use them for our own selfish reasons. And so we confess that to You. And even despite that, we give You thanks that You have been willing to trust us as caretakers of these incredible abilities that You've given us. Lord, do You know that some of us this morning, we need to bust out the shovel and we gotta get in the dirt, we gotta dig up those abilities that we have buried for whatever reasons, that we need to unbury those things and that we need to start to put them to use for You. That You expect us to use those things which You have given us for the betterment of others. And so we pray that You'd help us to do it. We pray that You would help us to be willing to trust that You are present with us and know that you might be asking us to step out of our comfort zone as we strive to follow You. We're thankful that what it means to be in relationship with You and to follow Christ does not allow us to just stay in this little safe, comfortable bubble, but rather that You're always pulling us outside of that and outside of ourselves. And so we ask that You would continue to bless and use the abilities of those here, of our church, that we might wrestle with what it looks like to choose to use them for You and for others.